Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal County Council has adopted the draft county development plan, which will shape planning policy and decisions until at least 2030. Investigations are ongoing after the death of a man seriously injured in a hit and run in Clonmany on Sunday. A group of hospital consultants says the lack of modern ICU facilities at Letterkenny University Hospital represents a serious risk to critically ill patients. And Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty has once again been accused of strategically heckling in the Dáil. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news though, Donegal County Council has adopted the draft County Development Plan, which will shape planning policy and decisions until at least 2030 and possibly onto 2034. The proposal to adopt the amended plan was made by Cathaoirleach Councillor Martin Harley and seconded by Fianna Fáil Whip Councillor Kieran Brogan. A number of the proposed amendments were not accepted and the adopted plan will now be reviewed by the Office of the Planning Regulator. As was the case with the Letterkenny plan earlier this year, some of the OPR's recommendations were not accepted. That may lead to some elements of the plan being referred to Housing Minister Dara O'Brien. The Chief Executive of Donegal County Council is John McLaughlin.
It's a big achievement for Donegal County Council. It represents a huge milestone in the development of the county to agree what's the county development plan for the next 6 years and may well be extended 10 years with some amendments based on the new policy. It does cover the development terms of a lot of people talk about housing, but it covers many other things from tourism, renewable energy, major infrastructure projects, whether it be the roads or the water lines and others for the development of electricity.
You had proposed 188 amendments to the draft plan, but 157 or so were accepted, no problem. The rest, contentious, a number of them weren't expected. I suppose, when at the end of the day, you were really expecting that.
Those numbers are small numbers of times that might have been termed contentious at the end, about 30 or so out of 200. It's a small percentage, and then some of those, as you can see from the debate, the margin can be small at times.
Investigations are ongoing after the death of a man seriously injured in a hit and run in Clonmany on Sunday. The man, a pedestrian in his 60s, was struck by a vehicle at around 12:15 a.m. on Main Street. He was initially taken to Letterkenny University Hospital and then transferred to Beaumont Hospital, where he died yesterday evening. The driver, a man in his 30s, was arrested and has since appeared in court in connection with the incident. Gardaí are continuing to appeal to anyone who witnessed the collision or who has dashcam footage of the area at the time to come forward. A group of hospital consultants say the lack of modern ICU facilities at Letterkenny University Hospital represents a serious risk to critically ill patients. In a letter to the Health Minister, the consultants have highlighted the lack of critical care beds, additional isolation rooms, a high dependency unit, an electronic clinical information system, as well as overcrowding at the hospital. They are seeking another urgent meeting with Minister Stephen Donnelly. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin called on Minister Donnelly in the Dáil last evening to implement an interim proposal to upgrade the hospital's intensive care unit.
We have a very serious situation with only 5 critical care beds, 1 extra for overflow, no high dependency unit, there's a single isolation room, there's no clinical information system, there's a lack of an electronic clinical information system, and there was a recent examination and there's clear concerns about it. So they've put forward in their correspondence to you an arrangement that's an interim arrangement, but it's needed to provide for 10 intensive care beds there to address on a temporary basis what they're facing. So that's an immediate ask, and I'm asking you, Minister, you have the correspondence to seriously consider. I'm also asking you to look at this funding model and to consider maybe if Letterkenny should be upgraded to a Model 4 hospital. I've gone through all the issues around diabetes care, around cancer care, around the issue with surgeons, consultants. The fact there's no surgical hub planned for Letterkenny, even though it's a bigger hospital, Model 3, than others that are going to have a surgical hub. So there's so many issues. I have little time, but please, on the intensive care unit issue, Minister, I'm asking you to please read this and to engage and meet with them as they've requested.
Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty has once again been accused of strategically heckling in the Dáil. It followed another row between Deputy Doherty and the Taoiseach over housing during leaders' questions today. The Sinn Féin finance spokesperson attacked the government's housing policies. Deputy Doherty took aim at Micheál Martin about previous pre-election promises.
You made a commitment to the electorate. You said if you got into government, you would deliver 50,000 affordable houses at prices that would be less than €250,000. I ask you, where are they? Because nobody can find them anywhere. They're not in Cork, they're not in Donegal, they're not in Dublin. You haven't delivered the houses.
As the Taoiseach tried to respond, he faced heckling from the Sinn Féin benches. It led to this intervention from the Cán Chóla, Sean O'Farrell, who pointed his criticism at Deputy Doherty.
And heckling is no way to conduct an orderly debate. Strategic, you, sir, are the arch strategic. You know very well what you're doing. You know very well what you're doing, and you're strategically heckling constantly.
The Stormont administration has been urged to bloody well get on and fix the issues exposed by the COVID inquiry. 3 weeks of evidence has been heard about Northern Ireland's handling of the pandemic. Current and former ministers and top civil servants have all been scrutinised about some of the decisions made. Speaking on behalf of bereaved families, Barrister Brenda Campbell says it had been littered with oversights, omissions and failings.
The leaks, the spins, the sectarianism, the political sniping, the wiping of phones and other devices, the corrosive, mean and hostile WhatsApp chats. Unfortunately, I could go on.
A dedicated fisheries and marine minister is needed to save Ireland's dying fishing industry. That's according to Midlands Northwest MEP Maria Walsh, who says the sector is now on a downward trajectory. Speaking after a recent visit to Killybegs, Ms Walsh says fishing communities need support.
Fishermen and women, many community groups within the Killybegs area and wider field sharing their frustrations at the fact that year over year, less and less of their waters can be fished based off quota, and the historical wrongs, which have really, as shared to us, decimated the Irish fishing industry. And it's incredibly important that we right that wrong. And in speaking with the representatives and speaking with the minister herself, Jennifer Karen McNeill, it was important coming out of that now that we go back to the likes of our European partners, those that we have a very close relationship with, minister at council level, myself within the parliament, and as mentioned, Manus Boyle, when elected to the Donegal County Council, that we begin to right that wrong, and calling for, not in this lifetime of the government, but certainly the next government we're going to be able to lead out on, a minister dedicated to fisheries. It's too important of an industry. It's incredibly important time, and we must ensure that we are giving the support, the resources and the confidence in our fishermen and women.
Women fleeing domestic violence or those leaving direct provision accommodation are among groups most likely to be exploited through sex for rent. The National Women's Council says the practice sees women choosing between homelessness or sexual exploitation. There are calls for sex for rent as well as proposals of the practice to be made a criminal offence. Orla O'Connor, director of the National Women's Council, says the housing crisis has worsened the problem.
And in first instance, the practice needs to be made illegal. There needs to be far greater protection for renters. And we also need to look at this in terms of the wider context of the housing crisis. We say very clearly there needs to be far greater social housing and more protections for tenants.
There's calls for urgent investment and action to ensure adequate respite services for people with disabilities in Inishowen. Adrian McMiler, a local election candidate in the Buncrana local electoral area, says many families in the peninsula are facing a daunting challenge with the closure of Riverwalk House in Carndonagh and the issues facing Ballymacool Respite House in Letterkenny. He says it's important a conversation is had with the staff and families dealing with the situation firsthand.
Going around the doors, Michaela, and working with families firsthand, I know there's an urgent issue and rally for immediate action to open the respite services in Inishowen. At present, the closure of facilities like the Riverwalk and Cairndonagh and the challenges faced by Ballymacullan, Letterkenny, there's very, very limited options for kids and adults with disabilities to have respite services, and it's stretching families, and it's really, really unfair for these families.
And even the limited respite that is offered, families are having to travel long distances to put family members in respite, and this is just not feasible for, say, there is elderly parents. So what do you think needs to be done now, immediately and in the long term, to solve this?
We need to be investing in respite services, for sure. We need action. We need strong voices. We need an inclusive community. We need to be advocating to the HSE. We need to be getting to speak to our first-hand workers who works with the people with disabilities. We need to get them speaking to families. And we need urgent action now, Michaela.
It's been proposed a bridge in Inishowen be named after Tip O'Neill. The renaming of Cockhill Bridge, the Tip O'Neill Bridge, will go into public consultation, and members of the public will have their chance to put forward other suggestions also. Tip O'Neill was an American politician whose grandparents originated from Donegal. Councillor Nicholas Crossan believes the renaming of the bridge will be significant in recognising the work of Tip O'Neill.
It leads out to the ancestral home. It leads out to where he lived. And it's just in recognition of what he'd done in the International Monetary Fund, what he'd done for the peace process in Northern Ireland, indeed the Republic of Ireland, and the great benefits that Tip O'Neill brought to Ireland throughout his life.
Well, Councillor Jack Murray is opposed to the naming of the bridge in memory of Tip O'Neill. He says there are many other figures that deserve the recognition that has already been afforded to Tip O'Neill.
There was an extensive debate at the last meeting of the Inishowen Municipal District, and after a narrow vote, 5 votes to 4, it will go out to public consultation with the recommendation that it be called Tip O'Neill. Now, I would have been opposed to that idea. I believe that it should have went out just to accept all opinions and all names and all suggestions, and that's nothing against Tip O'Neill, the O'Neill family of great connections with Inishowen, but they're widely recognised. We have the bust of Tip O'Neill on the shorefront, we have an accessible walkway named in his honour, we have a room in the Sleaf Snack Centre, we have a dinner dance and an award ceremony every year, so I think that is extensively recognised. So I think there's space now for any of the number of great and influential people from the local community, from Buncrana, from Inishowen, to have their name, if even if the bridge needs to be renamed at all, because I do suspect that regardless of the outcome, it'll be called the Cockhill Bridge or the new Cockhill Bridge by the local community anyway. But I just think it should be the people really that should decide this.
Construction has started on 248 homes in Donegal so far this year. According to data released today by the Housing Department, last month alone, commencement notices for 154 properties in the county were issued. Housing Minister Dara O'Brien says the development levy waiver and Uisce Éireann Connection charge rebate, which were introduced last year, have helped to fast-track greater activity and have made many more projects viable.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with soccer, and former Republic of Ireland and Derry City manager Stephen Kenny is the new boss of St Patrick's Athletic. The 52-year-old returns to the League of Ireland and has signed a 5-year contract at Richmond Park, with his first challenge taking place against former club Derry City tomorrow evening. Kenny has won 5 League of Ireland Premier Division titles, 4 of which with Dundalk and 1 with Bohemians, while his tenure in charge of Ireland came to an end following the national team's failure to qualify for the European Championships this summer. St Pat's are owned by Gareth Kelleher, and Kenny says the pair are on the same page.
Gareth Kelleher has shared his vision for the club for me for a long time, and he has plans for the stadium, tour of America, European progression, and a lot of exciting plans, really. But we're obviously a long way from that at the moment, because we're at the wrong end of the table and we've got some hard work to do. And the reason I signed a longer contract is to build a club over a period of time, and I wish to do that.
In the Championship playoffs this evening, Leeds United and Norwich City contest the second leg of their Championship playoff semi-final at Elland Road. The tie is goalless from the first leg, and kick-off there is at 8 p.m. A fractured eye socket will rule Ederson out of Manchester City's final Premier League game and the FA Cup final. The Brazilian goalkeeper was taken off after colliding with Christian Romero in Tuesday's match at Tottenham. Former City defender Nedim Onuha says Stefan Ortega is an able deputy for Ederson.
He's more than good enough to be a number one for Man City, and the only person that stopped him has been the guy who's been an icon for the football club. So I'm sad for Ederson that his season has come to a close in the way that it has done. But I think with Stefan Ortega stepping in, you won't see a drop-off from Man City because he is outstanding, to say the very least.
Pep Guardiola's side can guarantee a fourth straight title by beating Everton on Sunday. In horse racing, Donegal jockey Luke McAteer took victory in the Ryan's Cleaning Maiden race in Limerick this afternoon. The Rathmullen man was on board the David Marnham-trained Alabama Calling as he romped home at 7-1. In motorsport, a Toyota Yaris Rally 2 will compete on Irish roads for the first time this weekend with the aim of a competitive drive in June's Donegal International Rally. The Melvin Evans Motorsport-prepared car will compete in the Carlo Stages Rally this Sunday as a pre-test shakedown for the Jim Clark Rally on the British Rally Championship and next month's Donegal Rally. The Yaris is being brought to Irish shores in conjunction with ProVision Global Consultancy, directed by Donegal native Paul Crumlish, and will be driven by Marion Evans and Jer Conway in Donegal. There'll be more on this story this evening on Highland when we hear from Marion on the Score programme after the 7pm news. In golf, Rory McIlroy is 2 under par with 8 holes remaining of his opening round at the PGA Championship, while Shane Lowry and Pádraig Harrington are both tee off this evening. Xander Schauffele is the early leader at Valhalla on 7 under. Leona Maguire is level par with 3 holes remaining of her America's Cup first round in New Jersey. Stephanie Meadow is 5 over with 2 to play as Andrea Lee leads on 5 under. In darts, it's night 16 as the race for the playoffs in the Premier League hots up. There's one final spot up for grabs as Luke Littler, Luke Humphreys and Michael van Gerwen have already qualified. The quarterfinal lineup tonight sees leader Littler play Peter Wright, Nathan Aspinall takes on Michael Smith, world champion Humphreys plays Gerwen Price, and it's van Gerwen against Rob Cross. And finally, on the Score programme this evening, as well as our chat with Marion Evans about the rally, we speak with Jimmy Bradley ahead of Cockhill Celtic's FAI Senior Cup game with Airfield United. We'll talk Finn Harps with Tom Mohan and captain Tony McNamee. And Donegal senior ladies manager John McNulty will look ahead to their Ulster final with Armagh this Sunday. That's all on the Score programme this evening between 7 and 8. That's your sport for now. Have a very good evening. Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. And finally, news. Highland Radio remains the most listened to radio station in the Northwest. New JNLR listenership figures released today show 80% of people choose Highland Radio as their number one station each week, while 54% or 62,000 people tune in every day. Meanwhile, the station's market reach remains the highest in the country at 60%, meaning when people tune in, they listen for longer. Weather now, a few showers developing this evening, becoming mainly dry later. Highest temperatures of 19 to 21 degrees. The closing headlines, Donegal County Council has adopted the draft county development plan, which will shape planning policy and decisions until at least 2030 and possibly onto 2034. The proposal to adopt the amended plan was made by Cathaoirleach Councillor Martin Harley and seconded by Fianna Fáil Whip at Councillor Kieran Brogan. A group of hospital consultants say the lack of modern ICU facilities at Letterkenny University Hospital represents a serious risk to critically ill patients. In a letter to the Health Minister, the consultants have highlighted the lack of critical care beds, additional isolation rooms, a high dependency unit and electronic clinical information system, as well as overcrowding at the hospital. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty has once again been accused of strategically heckling in the Dáil. It followed another row between Deputy Doherty and the Taoiseach over housing during leaders' questions today. And a dedicated fisheries and marine minister is needed to save Ireland's dying fishing industry. That's according to Midlands Northwest MEP Maria Walsh, who says the sector is now on a downward trajectory. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast for main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore.
Coming up, we'll hear how changing weather is likely to bring new farm diseases.
But first, the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association is insisting that no penalties should be applied to farmers who inadvertently exceed their phosphorus allowance. The farm organisation is calling for a common sense approach to the application of the new rules, which could potentially expose thousands of farmers to penalties on their direct payments and environmental scheme monies. By exceeding their holdings permitted phosphorus allowance, farmers would be in breach of the regulations governing good agricultural practice and water protection rules. And this could result in penalties of between 3% and 15% of BIS payments and a possible 100% penalty on acres area-based payments because the farmers are not deemed to be environmentally compliant. Wetter and warmer weather will bring with them a whole new set of disease pressures for Irish farms, it has been warned. And this looks like something we're going to hear a lot more about. To get an idea of what could be coming down the track, I've been speaking with Katrina Morrissey, Deputy Editor of the Irish Farmers Journal, who recently reported on the matter. You've carried out an investigation into how the changing weather is likely to bring new farm diseases in the years ahead. And I suppose, well, first of all, some of them are already emerging, and ones that we already have are seeing an increase in the number of outbreaks.
Yeah, that's right. I suppose we all tend to think of climate change as something that's happening in 50 years' time and that it'll be affecting our children or grandchildren. But in actual fact, when you look at the changes that are happening for farmers in particular, it's already having an effect. And as you say, it's affecting the diseases that we always had, and in some cases moving them geographically from one part of the country to the other or increasing their intensity. And then it's also bringing new ones that we would never have had on the island of Ireland. So what I did was I spoke to the Department of Agriculture and Damien Barrett there. He's the senior superintending veterinary inspector with the department. A man just a huge amount of knowledge in terms of the various diseases that we are challenged by already and going to be challenged further by. And for example, you know, farmers, your listeners will know things like liver fluke and rumen fluke. They've been around for years, but actually his data and the data from the regional veterinary laboratories around the country shows that the threat and the intensity of the threat from the likes of liver fluke and rumen fluke is on the increase. And then we have some new pests, such as, for example, the barber's pole worm, really kind of thought of as exotic in Ireland about 30 years ago, started to become a problem here in the early 2000s. And last year it actually caused fatalities on over 70 farms. So that's a real increase, real spike in the incidence of problems to do with that particular pest.
Indeed. Now, you mentioned there liver fluke. I see in some EU member states, the number of infections has increased up to 12-fold so in recent times. So that's quite staggering. And, you know, I think you've reported on the fact liver fluke disease costs the Irish agriculture industry around €90 million annually. So this is hugely significant.
Hugely significant, and I suppose it is related to wet weather and wet ground. So the life cycle of liver fluke and rumen fluke requires a snail. So a snail is an intermediate host for the liver fluke to complete its life cycle. So farmers will know that, you know, wet areas on the farm, they've been advised to maybe fence them off or keep animals away from those areas for particular times of the year. But when we look at climate change and what it is going to do to our weather, we are looking at, for every 1 degree of temperature change that we see in Ireland over the coming decades, there will be a 7% increase in rainfall intensity. And that means that we are going to have more periods of waterlogged soil. That means that you're going to have more opportunity for the snails to thrive, and you're going to have more opportunity for the fluke life cycle to be complete. That will increase the disease pressure for both cattle and sheep. And it's one of those diseases that affects just the thrive of the animal, I suppose. So it will reduce milk production, it will reduce meat production and general health of the animal. So all of that costs money, as you say, and costs a substantial amount of money.
Warmer temperatures will see midges, mosquitoes and tick populations likely to increase.
Again, we don't hear too much about mosquitoes in this part of the world, but there's no doubt about it. The evidence is there. We're going to see more of them.
That's right. And again, I suppose the link to climate change affecting our weather and our general trends. So we're looking at rising temperatures and we're also looking at fewer frost days. So we're going to have warmer winters and fewer days of frost. Now, what does a normal Irish winter do? It kills off a lot of bugs and pests and whatnot. So if we have a warmer, milder winter with fewer frosts, it means that insects like midges will survive for longer. They will survive in bigger numbers. And they're the vector of a number of diseases that Irish farmers are kind of aware of and will need to be more aware of. I suppose one of the first of those that farmers would have heard of in the southeast of the country, less so in the northwest, Schmallenberg, first came to Ireland in 2012. It came through the spread of midges and it came from continental Europe on wind currents. The midge population was blown to the southeast of Ireland originally. Started out, I suppose the first discovery in Ireland was in October 2012, and that was the birth of a deformed calf. You know, it kind of has spread then in the couple of years after that, it spread to 22 counties of Ireland. It waned then, but there's, I suppose, a feeling that that will resurge again because there's an element of, I suppose, resistance builds in the population that falls away and the disease will resurge again. A terrible issue for any farmer who has seen it on their farm. You know, lambs and calves, they're born with severe deformities of the joints, severe deformities of the spine. They're more often than not born dead. Sometimes very traumatically they are born alive, but they're very, very deformed and they would have to be put down. That was the first time that Ireland recorded disease moving like that from northern France into the south of the UK, south of Britain and southeast of Ireland. And that same method of transmission is why everybody is watching the new strain of blue tongue in continental Europe, because it is the same vector, the same midges that carry blue tongue as did carry Schmallenberg. So that's something that the Department of Agriculture jointly and Metair, and they're able to look at weather and climate models and predict when Ireland would be at risk, at highest risk. And we're coming into that period now, summertime, which is when the midge population kind of resurges after the winter. And again, it's all about, you know, keeping these type of diseases because they have huge trade implications for Ireland. We do not want them in this country because it would severely restrict our trade in live animals.
Worrying times ahead by the looks of it. And Katrina, just before we let you go, we've seen in the last few weeks reports in relation to the increase in the TB incidence rate. And again, tying in with climate change, intense droughts are likely to bring livestock into closer contact with badgers. The badgers may migrate towards feeding troughs and there could be associated issues there.
Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting link and certainly not one that I would have ever thought of. So along with wetter weather, climate change will also bring drier weather because we're going to see an increase in drought. And what Dr. Damien Barrett was saying was that because you'll have more frequent and longer droughts, animals of all kinds will be in search of water. So an obvious one for wildlife, in, you know, where maybe a small stream might dry up or is harder to access, they may instead go for the livestock water troughs. And in that case, you may have badgers then coming into more contact with cattle or sheep, as the case may be. But also you'll have cattle, because in drought, you know, grass growth is bad, you'll have more pressure put on grazing. The cattle will graze more to the edge of the field. And that, of course, is where the badger sets are. It's where badgers will be using the area as their toilet. And that will increase just that frequency of interaction. We know that there is movement of TB between cattle and badgers. So more interaction between the two species obviously means a higher threat of the disease being passed from one to the other.
And that was Katrina Morrissey, Deputy Editor of the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, May 16th. The death has taken place of Anne Coyle, Ní McGowan, Drumard, Millfield, Buncrana. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Pauline Casey, née McLucas, 3 St Mary's Place, Strabane, and formerly of Ballee, reposing at her home this evening from 6 p.m. Funeral leaving her home on Saturday morning at 11:20 a.m. for service of thanksgiving in Lechpatrick Presbyterian Church, Artigarvan, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the family plot. Family time from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Annie Mulhern, Aha Glashan, Glenealy. Annie's remains are reposing at her home. Removal from there on Saturday afternoon at 2:30 p.m. to St Mary's Church, Boken, for Requiem Mass at 3 p.m, followed by burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Stanley Hammond, Mahara Blade, Creasa, County Donegal, and formerly London. No wake, house private. Memorial service at the family home on Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Everyone is welcome to join the family for the memorial service and burial. The death has occurred of Margaret McMenamin, Doohan, Castlefin. Her remains are reposing at her sister-in-law Frances McMenamin's residence, Carrick, Castlefin. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m, going to St Mary's Church, Castlefin, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow morning. The death has taken place of Sarah Dornan, Neo Donnell, Jimmy Hamish of Glasgow, originally of Lochnanoran, Annagree. Sarah's remains will repose at her home, Chat Jimmy Hamish, in Lochnanoran from 6 p.m. on Saturday evening. Rosary nightly at 8 p.m. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass will take place on Monday morning at 11 a.m. in St Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Annagree. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Worthy Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has occurred of Bobby Sayers, Era Rui, Falcara. Wake until 9 p.m. tonight. House private on the morning of the funeral, please. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon in St Paul's Church, Ray Munter Downey, at 3 p.m. Funeral service can be viewed live on Sweeney Funeral Director and Embalmer's Facebook page. The death has occurred of Nellie McFadden, Rye, Falcara. Her remains will repose at her home in Rye, Falcara, until Rosary at 8 p.m. tonight. House private for family on the morning of the funeral. Funeral service will take place tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St Finan's Church, Falcara, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral service can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv or Sweeney Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Kathleen McLaughlin, Drina, Malinhead. Kathleen's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there at 10:20 a.m. on Saturday morning for 11 a.m. funeral mass in St Mary's Church, Lag, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral mass can be viewed live on the Malinhead Community Facebook page. Family time from 11 p.m. to 2 p.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the stroke unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Edmund Doherty Riley, Main Street, Clonmany. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:40 a.m, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice Palliative Care Team or Clonmany Community First Responders, care of any family member or McFeely Funeral Directors. Edmund's funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Damien Deveny, 189 Clonilach, Skeg, Derry. Remains reposing at McLaughlin's funeral home, Lower Main Street, Buncrana, with viewing until 8 p.m. tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20 a.m, going to St Mary's Church, Cockhill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.